everybody, and welcome to another episode of Horror Movie Night. This week, we are checking into Motel Hell. Scott.
It's Motel Hell, oh, dude.
Yeah.
But the light burned out.
Not till the spoiler.
Yeah, geez, Matt.
So, Scott, you had picked this.
This is my second time picking this to discuss with you.
Yeah, so here's the story with the first time we picked Motel Hell was the infamous night. I will say it's the infamous night. So Scott drove all the way to Pennsylvania to go to an anime convention with me.
But that's true friendship right there.
Yeah, but that night he literally showed up. We saw each other face to face for the first time, gave a big old hug, and then I showed him where he would be sleeping in the basement. And we got on the computer and started
so much worse than it was.
And started recording three episodes of our podcast. And this is where you got our retroactive episodes years ago of Puppet Master 3 and Phantom of the Paradise were recorded this night. But the first thing we recorded was Motel Hell. And the problem that happened with Motel Hell was that this was when I was sitting on the other side of the room and Scott was sitting on the other side of the room. But the echo, it was picking up each other's voices so badly that the episode was like almost unlistenable. And that's when I locked myself in the laundry room and recorded in there for the last two episodes. But that was the last time I watched or talked about Motel Hell. And I remember that was a good episode. But there's something special with this one because this is like, and Brian, you can correct me if I'm speaking out of turn here. But I feel like this was a frequent player in the Kelly, like a frequent rental in the Kelly household when we were like getting into horror movies.
Maybe for you. I watched this once with, oddly enough, bringing them up twice in the same recording month, but I watched this with Colin and Mom.
So I'm glad that you mentioned that you watched this with Mom because I heard about this movie from Dad. The Patreon bonus episode of this is going to be a short discussion of like, movies that we discovered through unusual family recommendations. Because, like, the thing is, our mom and dad are not horror fans. Like, it is insane that Dad was just like, oh, yeah, Motel Hell, where they dig them up, they dig them up to their necks and they cut out their throats and then they harvest them for food. I'm like, why do you know this? Like, you won't even watch, like, Nightmare on Elm Street or Friday the 13th. Why is, like, Motel Hell just in your Rolodex of pop culture references?
Because Dad would have been a horror fan if Doug Kenny had never lived. But once college movies were a thing,
it changed
everything.
I think I literally think the only reason he saw this movie is because Wolfman Jack is in it.
Yep,
like,
yep.
I have a genuine theory that was
Wait,
it.
Who's Wolfman Jack in this movie?
He's the pastor.
Oh, that makes so much sense. Yeah.
I'm pretty sure our dad had a Wolfman Jack shirt that he wore a lot when we were kids.
I thought you were going to say a Wolfman Jack tattoo.
I was a huge Werewolf Man Jack fan.
Oh, yeah, because you liked the Sesame Street.
Dude, that was hit songs like It's Hip to Be a Square.
Hip to Be a Square was in there. Letter B.
And that's all I remember. Oh, no, there's a monster in my mirror. How could I forget there's a
the
monster
in the mirror
is
in there. Telephone Rock is on there.
Telephone Rock. Wow.
Doing the batty bat. But yeah, Scott, for because I'm assuming this is just flying over your head. There is a Sesame Street VHS and also available on DVD because I bought it.
No shit.
It was a Sesame Street music video countdown hosted by Werewolf Jack. And it was just a werewolf puppet talking in Wolfman Jack's voice the whole time. And that was our first introduction to Wolfman Jack was through Werewolf Jack. And our dad being like, oh, yeah, no, that's making fun of Wolfman Jack. He was a radio personality.
And then our second was when we had, which it actually wasn't even clips of him. It was just his picks for a Halloween cassette that Mom bought at like Giant. Or Target.
Wolfman Jack and Motel Hell deep in the Kelly lore. But actually, watching it this time, and I think it was because like I watched this on the Scream Factory Blu-ray that I bought years ago. And like, this is one of those movies. We always talk about how like sometimes these movies, like when they're kind of muddy and grainy, like that's the best way to see it. But like seeing this in like a pristine picture, like, it's a well-shot movie for what it is.
Yeah, especially when they're dealing with the heads. because like the first, this is only the second time I've ever watched it. And by the way, Matt's usual question of why did you pick it was not asked, but I'm going to give you the answer. It's because this is my Thanksgiving pick. And from now on, henceforth, Scott will be picking Cannibal Whoopsies in November.
I think that that's my new favorite genre, is the cannibal whoopsie genre. The oopsie poopsie of making a cannibal movie.
But yes, so this is the first time I watched the Blu-ray version. And man, so much better. Like, I remember the first time watching it, I watched a shitty, you know, YouTube link. And it's just, it was somewhat painful in the to watch some of the scenes. Like, especially when they're in the picnic. And the really dark nighttime scenes were like really hard to watch.
You can see shit.
Yeah, but now this blue is so much better.
And one of the things that jumped out at me early on is there's a scene where these two little girls go walking through the slaughterhouse, and it's this long tracking shot where like you see the girls in the distance, and up front is all of like the pig carcasses and stuff, and it's just a very well constructed tracking shot. Originally, Universal Studios wanted Toby Hooper to direct this movie, and then Universal backed out, and then because they just thought that it was too strange, and then Toby Hooper was just like, oh, okay, well then I guess I won't do it, and just walked off.
And I guess I'll make TCM 2, you know?
Yeah, I'll just make this instead. But yeah, apparently it was a much darker movie for a while. What I was reading was that the film, like, the original screenplay had stuff with bestiality and a lot more violence, and there was no comedy in it. But I'm glad with what we got.
I don't feel like it would work if it was too dark. I mean, like, I wish that they would have kept the bestiality in, not because that's a fetish or anything, but rather because I think that Farmer Vincent and his sister are a little bit too likable.
Yeah.
You know, like, they're not anti-heroes. That's kind of the joke, though, is, like, you know, as a vegan, I think this movie's fucking hilarious because, like TCM2 and maybe a couple other movies along those same lines, they are poking fun at people that are big meat eaters but don't realize where their meat's coming from. And they don't give a fuck because they just like the taste, you know, and that's the whole point. And like, I guess that the stuff would be kind of in that same realm, you know, kind of, it's a bit of a stretch, but you know, where people just are mindless consumers. I just love the fact that they're like, there are too many people. We should just feed people to people. It would have been better if we would have kept Farmer Vincent as kind of like the kind of not wisecracking, but you know, like the sardonic, like, hillbilly who thinks it's kind of funny to eat anything that has legs, but then add more darkness to it because it's a little bit too, I think that you're absolutely right that it's almost too lighthearted, because I think that the whole point of the fucking movie is almost lost on people that watch it passively because they're just like, oh, this is a fun slasher, when it really is kind of like the social commentary is super important. And this movie is from what, 1980?
Yeah, 1980. It tackles a lot of interesting stuff. I'll tell you,
but it's lost.
There's a lot of crazy things that happen in this movie, but I think the most far-fetched moment is when our final girl, our survivor girl, is really upset that her longtime boyfriend died in a motorcycle accident and that she didn't get to bury him. And then Farmer Vincent's just like, hey, I know that you're sad, but you're here, so that means God exists. And she's just like, you know what? You're right. I do feel so much better now. Like, that speech went nowhere. And the idea that, like, she's officially over all of her sadness in, like, those three or four sentences, I was just like, what the fuck is this?
Yeah, it's a weird movie.
Yeah, this movie is really out there. I think that and that's what I love so much about it. Let me get to that in a second, though, because I got to point out something that Matt just said. So, ... you're here so God exists. And you're pointing that out as something silly. But you're a Christian.
You can be a Christian and still understand the absurdity of
you're
Christianity.
Just saying that that's not as absurd as your absurdity. So, there you go.
No,
anyway.
So, listen, if you're going to... Here's the thing. I'm going to put a quick pin in that. Because I do want to explain this. Because this is a thing that comes up. I've explained it like this. I don't necessarily think, like, I'm not one of those people who's like, the Bible's the truth. Everything that happens in the Bible's right. You should do this, that, and the other thing. Like, I don't necessarily think that Jesus died, was buried, and then came back 3 days later as some type of, like, spiritual zombie. But do I think that, like, the actual messages that he gave people of like, hey, you should love everybody.
Yeah, don't be an asshole.
No, I can get behind that. So like, it's more just like, hey, he gave some good advice. Why not? And also, like, let's be honest, they pay me. So like,
you might want to cut that part.
No,
sure they're listening to our movie.
Yeah. I'm just giving you a hard time because I just think that when somebody's like Farmer Vincent is like, well, I'm not a bad person, even though I'm murdering people. They're a lot. I'm feeding people, so it's all right. You know, it's just like we're putting kids in cages, but it's okay because they're brown. Or, you know, like, we're not letting you have a medically induced abortion, or because, you know, like, a fucking cluster of cells deserves to live more than an adult woman. You know, like, where's the fucking line? There is no line. It's all, like, hypocrisy. That's what I was getting at. I don't really mean it about you. I hope I didn't offend you or anybody listening.
To be fair, I offended you last week, yeah. So I think it's fair that
you get a
shot.
I think that your offending me was a little bit more acceptable.
Here's my standpoint on it, because I agree with Scott. But I think that it's not necessarily, I think religion, politics, whatever it is, it's not necessarily whatever the actual thing is, whether it's Christianity, whether it's your political beliefs, it is the individuals that twist their beliefs where it's like, well, I'm not gay, so you're gay, and that's a problem. But I have sex before marriage, and that's okay because this and that. You know what I mean? It's like they twist it where it's like, well, if it's something that I don't like, I'm going to kind of put it to the side. And if it's something I don't like, then I'm going to use that as a reason. And that's what the problem.
Yeah. And that's the whole point of this movie too, is like, people are like, well, I don't eat people. I would never eat people. How horrifying, like how horrific. But then they're like, yeah, just fucking kill animals in the most inhumane way. Let's grow them, artificially inseminate animals to make more meat for us. And the whole point of this movie is crystallized for me when Vincent and his sister go to kill the humans that are, you know, buried to the necks. By the way, the horror of this movie isn't the cannibalism. It's being the food. Like, that is the more obvious horror.
This, like, the gurgling noises are horrifying in scenes. Like,
think about all the ways we've watched people die in horror movie night movies. Just horror movie night movies, right? I think that this is the most horrific and the most disturbing because, like, you're not dead. You're not dead for, like, a good 8 days. You're being force-fed. Like, if you eat foie gras, this is what they do to the duck that makes their liver fat. Like, you're being force-fed for, like, 8 days. You are probably being drugged. You have your throat, your larynx cut so that you can't speak. You're basically driven insane by the situation.
You're left in darkness 99% of the time. You've got, it's...
But that's the thing, is that's exactly what happens to chickens. I don't care if this offends anybody, this part, if this offends anybody that's listening, because this is my pick. You're along for the ride. So
so either enjoy the ride or get off the bus, sister.
And they're literally, by this point, if you are upset, you're probably already off the episode and probably like unsubscribing to us and, you know, like shit talking us in the world. It's fine. This is the hill I'm going
to
die on.
Yeah. Scott, you have to learn to work towards our audience. Our audience has already told us that we are not very educational, but entertaining. Why are you trying to be educational?
No, our audience and everyone,
because I have,
we found our bread and butter. People want us dumb.
Me and Matt both eat meat. We're both meat eaters. Both of us.
Yeah, and we're totally content with this conversation. So, listen, it's an important conversation to have.
But you're meat eaters because you don't care enough to not be. That's literally, like, I know. I've had this conversation with both of you more than once. Yeah. Like, we've been friends for years. It's because you don't care. And I'm having this conversation because I can't stop thinking about it.
It's because I'm selfish.
Yeah, but that's fine. As long as you own it, I mean, I can't stop you. But when Farmer Vincent and his sister go to fucking, you know, harvest these bodies, they have this whole soliloquy about how, like, I actually wrote it down. No animal should ever suffer any unnecessary pain. And, like, how do people that watch this movie, like, hey, it's just a dumb slasher. Like, what the fuck? It's literally put on a platter, like a head on a platter, right there for you.
And I wonder if, like, so this movie has had, like, a long history of kind of just not... Like, I didn't know this until I was researching it. But issue 9 of Fangora magazine, the cover was Farmer Vincent with the pig head and the chainsaw. And it is the rarest and most expensive to buy Fangora magazine now because it's sold so terribly.
Oh, wow.
It's the lowest selling Fangora magazine of all time. Like, there is something about this movie where it's like, it's, people are aware of it. They're aware of moments of it, but I think it's something that people know but haven't really watched. And if they've watched, like you've said before, like, it's a, like, I know that I have passively watched this movie way more than I've sat down and really watched this movie. Like, I feel like even though I remembered beat for beat things that were happening, and I remembered like specific characters, I remember the way that people die, and like I remember the last half, like the last like 10 minutes, which I really think is like one of the best finales of a slasher movie.
I used preservatives.
But like, I don't think I ever was paying enough attention to be like, oh shit. Because here's the thing.
Do you know who appreciates this movie? Quentin Tarantino. 100%.
Oh, for sure. I appreciate this movie. I guarantee.
Wait, why?
This
I
don't think you're tipping him off on a movie he hasn't seen.
Probably the biggest reason for that is Quentin Tarantino, one of his most famous lines is, a good artist doesn't do homages, he steals. And this movie is just Night of the Living Dead, Psycho, and Texas Chainsaw Massacre, just all stolen and put together.
But what I want to say is, like, there are going to be people who are listening that feel like Scott is like taking a movie and adding his own narrative to it, and it's like, no. If you watch this movie, that is the narrative of the movie.
Yeah.
Like, this is like, but like you said, it's so easy to passively watch it and kind of be like, oh, they're talking, fast forward, like, and just kind of like want to get to like the people buried in the ground and like the kill
and
scenes
the chainsaw
and the
fight. Like, it really,
the chainsaw.
That's,
yeah.
I think that's what most people know about this movie. They don't.
That's
really
the most important scene. That is the most important scene in the movie, in my opinion.
What?
If you're going to write a review on this movie, your review should only say, two men have a Star Wars style fight with chainsaws while one wears a pig head. And you're going to give that movie anywhere from 0 to 5 stars, and that is a correct assessment of this movie. Whichever way the stars lie, it's right.
Yeah,
I can't argue with that at all.
Because it is like, I mean, in all honesty, I think that if that movie didn't end with him walking out with a pig's head on and a chainsaw, we wouldn't be talking about Motel Hell. I think that the movie would have literally just kind of been like Werewolves on Wheels type film, where it was like, yeah, it was this weird thing that came out in the like late 70s, early 80s, but like no one really thinks about it. But like, that image is such a like moment. I feel like the line between obscurity and cult is literally built on singular moments. And like, that is like the singular moment that like brought this out of being like an obscure, forgotten movie into like a cult film that people talk about 30, 40 years after its release.
You're not wrong. Actually, that is, I've been podcasting with you for damn near a decade now, and I think that is the most profound thing you've ever said. Because, like, it's, and I'm not saying you're stupid. I'm saying that that is, like, fucking genius, because I cannot agree more with you. Like, think about the first movie that came to mind when you were saying that was Luther the Geek, which it doesn't have a cult following, although it is a quite disturbing movie, in my opinion, doesn't have that moment, doesn't have that visual. Whereas, you know, like, this movie, I would be fine with it if the heads were the crux of the movie. But you're right, it wouldn't have a cult status. It wouldn't have a blue. Like, The Kindred doesn't have, like, I mean, as much as I love The Kindred, it doesn't have that moment.
I mean, the example I think of, and obviously I think of it because I love this movie, but like Sleepaway Camp. If Sleepaway Camp didn't end with the shot that Sleepaway Camp ends with, it would just be like this movie that people talk about sometimes at a convention and try to convince you to watch.
Yeah.
But like, because of that ending shot, everybody's like, yo, you've got to fucking see Sleepaway Camp. Like, it is just built on those like singular things that burn into people's brains and carries them through remembering it. And like, because I think a lot of the line of cult filmmaking to me is like, I think of something like Freaked. like the way that Freak had a cult following was, and I was talking about this with my interview with Felicia Rose a little bit, but the internet came along, and for years there was a bunch of people who had these singular experiences with movies where they felt like no one else shared that experience. Yeah. And all of a sudden they had this community where it's like, oh my God, you also found that movie at midnight on Showtime and couldn't understand what you were seeing. Like, that is like where the cults really started to really build in the age of the internet, was like people seeing these weird, trashy late night movies on like USA and Cinemax and feeling like no one's seen this, no one's heard of this, like I must have made this up. Like, I feel like there's so many people that have that line. I thought I made this movie up. Like, they just like,
yeah, that was basically Reddit horror. That was all it was.
Scenes that I wish that I thought I had made up and forgotten about is the whole weird scene with the swingers.
Yes, that's the only thing that I still wanted to talk about was that.
Like there's just like the weird whipping sequence, and I'm just like, what is happening?
The weirdest thing about that is that he doesn't finish shaving.
No. That scene also gives me the biggest laugh with how quickly he gets knocked out by the laughing gas. he's so excited. He's like, oh, is that some of that nitrous oxide? And his head just like falls back. The only other question I had down was, Brian, have you ever had a hypno high?
No, I have not.
So, all right. I just always have to check when there's new ways for people to get high, which is apparently putting a very hypnotic spinning light to make a head buried in the ground just spin its head around until it gets dizzy. Scott, what would your double feature with Motel Hell O be?
I am unabashedly going to pick the most obvious, TCM2, because these movies are two of my favorites. And I mean, like, Motel Hell was not up there in like my top 50 favorite horror movies. I always liked it. And then watching The Blue for this episode, I was like, God damn, now it has the rewatchability that like TCM2 does. And so, I mean, they're just, they're basically mirror, they're twins. You know, Motel Hell, Farmer Vincent versus whatever his name is, the Chili King. You get the chainsaw lightsaber battles. Although I think that the chainsaw lightsaber battle is better in TCM2, strictly because of just like, how over the top it is.
So there's another movie that we discussed on Reddit Horror Club that I think we should consider for a horror movie night one day that also has an epic chainsaw battle, Prophecy, about the killer about the killer mutant bear. Brian, how about you go? Because I am worried that I might take yours and I have some backups.
Oh, you're worried you might take mine. I would do... people under the stairs.
Did you say people under the stairs?
Yeah, as soon as I asked that question, I was like, of course he doesn't have one written down. What am I talking about? So my double feature, Brian said people under the stairs. My double feature would be the other Wishes It Was Texas Chainsaw Massacre movie that I think is a brilliant and delightful rewatch, Tourist Trap.
Oh, yeah, so good.
Like, I think I would have a good time with this back-to-back. Also, side note, I don't feel like getting into a discussion, but I think Scott and I already touched on this once before on a different episode, but the only thing I could do without is, like, the weird pseudo-zombies at the end.
Yeah, I don't like that in this movie. It would be literally a 10 out of 10 if it weren't for the pseudo-zombies. Like, I get it. I like that they get their comeuppance, but at the same time, they weren't fat. You know, like there are a lot of logistic hurdles that should have been taken care of. I mean, like, and also they wouldn't be fast. You know, their limbs would have been atrophied for 8 days, not moving. You know, like it would be. There are cool ways that they could have done it, but I just, you know, could have done without it.
Yeah, Scott, what did you watch this week that you want to tell people to check out?
Well, I have a song and a TV series. So I'll start with the TV series. We finished The Good Place. So we watched season 4 because it finally hit Netflix.
Yeah.
Or is it Hulu?
Oh,
Netflix.
What a finale.
I saw it coming and still cried. But like a good cry. It was just like a really, you know, like just soft tears going down my cheeks. Megan was crying harder than me.
I feel like that's the whole show. The show is like soft cry the show. Like it's just like a constant reminder of like, that there can be human goodness in the world and people can grow and change if they want to put an effort into it.
It's such a PG show And it there's the, on paper, it should not be compelling. But it's just a great show. And all the characters, I mean, all the actors are phenomenal.
What was the song?
This EP came out by a band called Salem, which is a stupid fucking name for a band. But so it's the lead singer of Creeper, which is also a terrible band name. But Matt likes them. I sent them to him this summer, I guess. It's the singer of that band and some guys from other bands that I've never heard of. But they have this song called Destroy Me. And it has been stuck in my brain. You know how last week I was talking about how I keep songs, like tech death songs, on the ready? So that that this is why, because songs like Destroy Me, they get stuck in my head because they're repetitive and catchy, but not like really good songs. I mean, like, this song's great. It's good. No, I'm sorry. The song is good. It has the potential to be great, but it just doesn't quite hit. It's just like, you know, I would do a couple things differently, but phenomenal little ditty for the fall. You should probably check it out.
Nice. I'll go real quick because I don't have a ton to say about it, but I watched both seasons of Killing Eve, which is a BBC show starring Sandra Oh, and it's probably the best cat and mouse story I've ever seen play out as a TV show. So if you're into anything that's like kind of a tug of war type story with like serial killers, it's about a female serial killer and this woman Eve, who is an expert at serial killers, who has always felt like a woman would do a better job at it than a man and doesn't understand why there's not more female serial killers. So when she finds out that there's one loose in London, she kind of becomes obsessed with it in the wrong way. As much as she wants to do her job and capture this person, she's also so captivated by the style in which this woman kills. Like, it almost turns into this weird, like, pseudo-friendship between the two of them.
Maybe her theory is right, Matt. And maybe women are better serial killers than men, which is why we don't have many, because they don't get caught. If you ever want to try that on for size.
Well, I've been put in my place.
I finally watched Peeping Tom. It's been on my list for years. I just never wanted to pay for it because I don't like paying for many things. And it's back on Prime. So I watched it and I really enjoyed it. It was a lot of fun. I knew it as the movie that got overshadowed by Psycho. They came out the same year. And after watching it, you know, I figured out that the only reason that Psycho overshadowed this movie is because Psycho is a much better movie. And that...
I was waiting for that line.
Yeah. And I enjoyed Peeping Tom, but to be like, you know, oh, I can't believe Psycho got all the attention. It's like, I can. I definitely can.
Yeah. I think, so I agree with everything you're saying. Psycho is definitely the better movie. With Peeping Tom, I think that Peeping Tom is ultimately a more horrifying story than Psycho is. But yeah,
better. But I really enjoyed Peeping Tom. I'll probably watch it again in like 6 years
when it's free again.
Yeah.
All right. Well, that was Motel Hell, as picked by Scott and discussed by us. Brian picked a movie that, so here's a hint that no one will be able to resolve because this is behind the scenes stuff, that we had already picked and watched once, and then our co-host flaked out on us and we just decided we weren't going to record it at all.
Is that how it happened?
Yep. Tune in for us to finally finish what we started in our first year by having to rewatch the movie. Hit up our Patreon, hear us talk about the craziest ways that we've heard of movies, and we will be back next week with another regular episode of Horror Movie Night.
You're listening to the Geekscape Network.